This is Merloni and Fourier.
Where's the music?
The Red Sox continue to look good in yellow. Do they deserve your attention now? Oh, we gonna get to that. I know, this is Saints week, but we keep getting these Tom Brady leaks and we just can't help ourselves. Sorry, Jameis.
We some dogs, we ain't no blood, hell no.
Oh, and Chuck from Foxborough was busy today.
Hey, how you doing?
Quite well.
Hello, I'm calling.
Okay, thanks for the call. Bill is up next in Nashville. Bill, go right ahead.
It's Lou. It's Christian. This is Merloni and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, fourth and final hour here of Lou and Christian, 93.7 FM, WEEI. So if you missed the 2 o'clock, I don't know, I was a little fired up. I had to get some things off of my chest. And if you missed it, well, here it is. So the Red Sox win again, and I tell you what, this isn't for you people that can actually sit back and watch a baseball team that's got to walk into the postseason because they're somewhat successful, right? That's what you are for your playoff team. You sit back and you've watched this season and you've enjoyed this season, then good for you because you're allowed to actually watch something and enjoy it and be entertained. A team from Boston is entering the postseason. What this is for you sheep, you soft individuals that allow people out there to influence your feelings about what you're watching because it's not cool to root for the Boston Red Sox. You sit around and you read Dan Shaughnessy for 5 months crapping all over this baseball team and has the balls to actually ask you why there's no love. Geez, Dan, maybe it's because you've been crapping on them for 5 months. What do you think? If you really want to troll the Red Sox fan base, you should probably start rooting for them and tell them the reasons why they like them. Because more and more of you people are just destroying this team for whatever reason. Because you're following people with influence. You're following their agendas. And my man Jerry Callahan, who I love, we all know he's got an agenda. He blames everything in the Red Sox, the reasons why he's no longer in this building. So he tells you that the Red Sox fans, nobody cares about them. They're only getting 20,000 in their stadium each and every night. What he doesn't tell you is for the first 20 home games, they're only allowed 4,500. What he doesn't tell you is for the next 10 home games, they're only allowed 9,000. And then they started selling tickets. They're getting 32,000 people. It's not 38. A lot of that has to do with season ticket holders. Not allowed to buy season tickets. But still, they want to kind of portray this thing. So what do? You love Jerry Callahan, so you hate this company, and you hate the Boston Red Sox, because Jerry Callahan tells you you should. Meanwhile, for the next 5 hours or all week long, he will rip the left politically for being nothing but sheep for following communist propaganda that this country throws out there, and you just follow whatever they tell you. Meanwhile, you do the exact same thing by your leader, Jerry Callahan. I guess Beatles out there spewing the same things about this 20,000 attendance, which bothers me because, to be honest with you, when it comes to that show, he should know the facts. Because we all know that Zoe hasn't watched a baseball game in 4 years and wishes they would just go away so we can just talk football. We all know that, but that shouldn't surprise you at all. Because from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. on that station in the hub, the tone of that show is that baseball sucks, the sport is dead, you shouldn't care, you shouldn't go, and you people are too dumb to realize it's the only team they don't broadcast. This is the memo that they have passed throughout their entire station. They don't want you to watch. They don't want you to care. They don't want you to listen. As a matter of fact, what did the Friday night host, Adam Jones, what did he say?
I hope they turn around and boycott the last homestand. I hope fans continue to not go. In fact, I would encourage fans to not go.
So there's a difference between being negative and talking about and having opinions and wishing fan bases not to go and give you reason after reason and why you should hate this baseball team. And I get it. And there's a difference between pushing it and pushing people away and telling you you're soft and you're stupid and you're dumb. They're a very influential station. They are very successful. No one's saying they're not. But you people just want to be, what, is it just fit in with them? And you just sort of sit there and you're shamed into not liking the Boston Red Sox because influential people in this city tell you you shouldn't. And you're too dumb to realize that there are agendas behind it all. Why don't you sit back and watch a baseball team that is entertaining, that's about to walk into the playoffs, and actually tell yourself, man, these guys are fun. They've won 4 World Series in the last few years, and that station across the street from day one to the very end of the season still tells you they suck and you shouldn't watch. You haven't picked up on it yet? How can you not see it? It happens all the time. People, you're so influenced. You are the sheep. Same thing with this station. For years, people telling you, you just shouldn't listen to this place because this place is old and this place is stale. And then what do? All the old stale people leave. And then people, but you still sit there and you're not allowed to like this station. You know what? Jerry Callahan walks out of here. So the people of Jerry Callahan, the followers, they don't like this place. You should be pissed at how he left. Same thing with Kirk Manahan. He's out in his podcast preaching about how you should hate this place and hate the Red Sox. And you just kind of go with it. You should be upset with how he left. That whole thing was screwed up. There's no question about it. But you don't even allow yourself to sit there and say, oh, my God, they got all these new people, new shows, new management, new everything. Maybe I should take a step back and not listen to people, media critics like Chad Finn, who's just still butthurt over the fact that freaking Jerry Callahan and Kirk Minahan hurt his feelings 6 or 7 years ago. But no, you just want to keep going with what everybody tells you. Those guys are kicking our ass in the ratings. There's no question about it. Will it last? I don't think so. I'm having a lot of fun with the new show. We're changing a lot of things around here, and we're going to continue to do our job. No question they do a good job. I get it. But you got to ask yourself, is it getting stale? Or is it just a habit? I don't know. You walk in, how many days can you eat chicken? Do you actually like their shows, or is it just a habit? You're being told what to like and what not to like. You got a team that's about to walk into the playoffs right now, and you are being told and you're being shamed if you root for them by people just because of their agendas. And you can't even figure it out. How you don't like this team, I don't get it. They've given you everything. It's been entertaining since day one. It's been a rebuild. You hated them the first 3 games, then they went off after that. And then it was, well, let's see what they're like. The deadline pissed you off. It pissed me off. I didn't even recognize them for the month of August. Now, all of a sudden, they're playing great baseball again. They're going to get into the postseason. It's a very dangerous team. And there's people out there asking you to boycott them. Too many people like you out there. Have some balls and actually just admit it. If you like the team, fine, you like the team. If you hate baseball, you hate baseball. If you're Zoe, you hate baseball. So be it. Whatever. But if you watch this thing and it's entertainment, you should be able to like it. You shouldn't be shamed by other people in this town telling you that you shouldn't like them. Is that how we live? I'll sit there and criticize Bill Belichick and New England Patriots, but I'll never tell you not to watch them. I'll never give you reasons why ownership craps down your throat. Why do the Red Sox think you guys are stupid? Why do they think you're stupid? What, the uniforms are a money grab? Do you really hate the yellow uniforms, or are you just saying that because you hear like a radio host who hates this team say that they hate the yellow uniforms? What do you care? They're winning baseball games. I don't care if they go out there naked. Like, what do you care? The people are ashamed to like a team that's about to walk into the postseason because their favorite podcast or their favorite show doesn't make money on them, and they don't want you to like them. Fine. I love watching this team. I think a lot of people are liking this team. I think you're going to see it this weekend. This team is fun, and it's okay to like them. You shouldn't be shamed by it. You should just sit back and watch this team. They're playing the Yankees. You think I give a rat's ass if it lasts 4 hours long? I'm going to be entertained. It's playoff time. You want to be like this in game 42? I get it. I understand the diehards are there, but it's mid-September, and people are telling you you shouldn't like them? And you go along with it? You're a bunch of sheep is what you are.
Chuck called Tampa today.
All right, that's what it sounded like to start. Man, I'm tired and exhausted just from listening to that thing.
Huh? That was good. I actually can't believe that you actually made it through the whole thing without really any hiccups, any
swearing,
any swearing. I know you were warned not to swear, but I do think I know it's something that we've been talking about for a while now. Just, I think it kind of actually came to a head with you, especially because you sent out that video this morning. And my thing is, it's just a real simple question: is Lou right? Like, is he right? Are you right? Does anybody else feel the same way when it comes to this team? Like, if you're one of those Sox fans who abandoned this team, I ask you an honest question: why? Why have you abandoned the team? There are so many unbelievable storylines with this team, so many great stories, so many great just moments. I mean, you pick them, we can talk about them. From the manager to the start, to what your expectations were, to how they kind of started playing great, to all the all-stars, to the crappy August, to the COVID situation, to all the people and players that were left in different countries.
See, the thing is to me is that, you know, people still don't get it. Like, it's, you can be negative on the Red Sox. I'm negative on Chaim Bloom. I'm not apologizing for what I saw at the deadline, even though Schwarber had the game he had. You know, you can be negative about Belichick or the Patriots or Al Horford or Tuukka Rask. There's a huge difference between being opinionated on players and this team. I don't like this team. I don't think they're going to be that good. That's fine. But what's going on is not that. What's going on is not that. You got a host telling you should boycott this team. You know, you shouldn't go to the games. They try to convince you on a daily basis that you shouldn't like this team. And reasons why you shouldn't, and why you shouldn't listen, and why you shouldn't watch. And you should be asking the question, why are they telling me this? What is their agenda? And there are agendas behind all of it. I'll be negative on certain teams, but I'll never sit there and say, don't watch the Patriots. Don't go to Gillette. They're trying to steal your money. Don't go to the Garden. You know, the ownership of the Celtics spit in your face. Like, Like, it's a constant, everyday thing where it just, it feels like it is coming to a head. Listen, you cannot be happy that Mookie Betts was traded. I get it. You can be upset at ownership for changing a street name or doing this or doing that. I get it. What I'm saying is it goes too far. Like, it can, and you can't see that. Like, it's almost like it's the loud minority here is anti-Red Sox. Like, there's people with influence in the city that have tried to turn this fan base against their own team and are pushing it daily for their own benefit. And people just don't see it. And I sit there and say, this team, I don't, you got your money's worth with this team. Like, this team here, you thought there was nothing from this team. They went out and got just a bunch of guys like Arroyo and Kike and just some grinders. They brought in a guy like Verdugo, just different guys. Nick Pivetta on the mound, and they just, their whole bullpen is different. And they've entertained you for 3 months. It was like, it was fun. If you hate the game of baseball, this was the anti-2021 baseball season team because they were putting the ball in play. You know, they were doing things the first 3 months that were exciting. They're coming back from wins. It was fun. Allow yourself to enjoy it. It's okay. And like I said, for August, they sucked. But now they're good. And it's just because they finally got everybody back, and they're finally healthy. They got through COVID. They got through some of these things. Sale is back. Schwarber, Dahlbeck all of a sudden come out of nowhere. This is a good team. They have the third best record in the American League and are in the toughest division in the American League. It's a dangerous team. It's a fun team. They're playing the Yankees. Don't feel shamed into being excited about them. Like, for some reason, people want you to. I just don't get it.
Well, the sound you heard, the one sound we did play was from Minnie Felger. That was a mini version.
Oh, yeah. Boycott the team.
Yeah, let me see.
Go.
Yeah,
the uniforms are a money grab. What are you talking? Players want to wear the uniform. They're going to do it ownership.
Yeah. What did Mike say earlier? I'm going to steal what he said and just kind of paraphrase it because I want to be just like him. Can I be like you? Like, he's the dog Spike. From those old cartoons.
Yeah.
Barking, yapping, wants to be like him, wants to be accepted, but just can't figure out his own
take. So what did I say that was wrong?
Hey, Spike, hey, you want to play ball? Huh? You want to play ball? Huh, Spike? You want to? Huh?
Mini-me.
Huh, Spike? Yeah. You want to? Huh?
So what did I say? What did I say that was wrong? Let me know.
Well, let's find out.
Let's go to Mallory in New Hampshire. Mallory, go ahead.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hi, Mallory.
I'm well. Lou, I just want to say I've been a diehard Red Sox fan since I was born. My mother raised me to love the white and red and now the yellow and blue. But I just want to say I agree with you. I'm a teacher here in New Hampshire, and I have my Red Sox corner, and I have, like, my flags and posters. And I tell the kids all the time that no matter what, we've been up and down on a roller coaster for this team, and you don't abandon a team. You support a team. And regardless of what an agenda is from columnists or anybody into the greater Boston area, it's more about leaving a community. That's the message they're sending, is you're leaving a community and you're not supporting a community. So just again, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I appreciate
you. Oh, keep rooting. You shouldn't feel bad about it. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Like, it's all the fan bases. Listen, everybody in this town kind of likes one team maybe more than the other. But for some reason, if that team that you like more than others, like the Red Sox, you're like, shame. How dare you? You can't like this team. And I think just because of influence from a lot of people. Let's go to David in the car. David, go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. This is a good team. It reminds me of the 2013 Red Sox. You know, you really don't have a lot of big names, superstars, if you will. And they're doing well. They're going through the slumps up and down. I love the uniform, I got to tell you. Anybody who's bashing this yellow blue uniform, I think it stands out. It's great. They got this thing going, which we all know in baseball, it's a game of superstitions, and they think that as long as they win, they should keep wearing, and I'm cool with that.
All right, thank you.
The World Series.
Yeah, and listen, the uniforms, I don't really care. They're okay. They're growing on me because they're winning. That's why I like them. Right? That's why I like them. Let's go to Mike in Falmouth. Mike, what's going on? You know, the Christian and Lou.
Hey, I'm just happy that you guys are talking about this because this has been my position on the other station for a while, is that I think all of those shows are on the other station are full of frauds. They talk about soap opera type stuff, and they don't actually talk about sports. I'm not just calling to blow some smoke up your butt, but I really appreciate what you guys are doing on this station here. I want you guys to know that I've switched to listen to this station. I listen to Greg Hill in the morning. I listen to you guys on the way home. And I'm just tired of this anti-Boston sentiment from Felger and Maz and some of the other guys over there. They don't give teams a chance, and they do have agendas. They spin agendas, and right now it's unlistenable when they come to them talking about the Red Sox, because on day one they were telling you to hate this team, and after they took off and they were really good, they were just waiting for it to fall apart, and then they did their victory lap when it did for a little while, and now they'll never change their position. They're going to sit there and be little babies and cry now that they're going to make the playoffs, and that's all they have. They don't have any answer when they're wrong. They just cry, and then they move on.
Thanks, Mike. So, appreciate
cool.
it.
Well, that gives us eight listeners. Well, Thank you.
There is a difference between negativity, and we all know it's sports talk radio. So we sat here on Monday talking about a win against the Jets, and we're negative towards it because it's just kind of how you feel. But again, there's a difference between that and saying that, you know what, this team is just, I don't believe in them. If I was you, I wouldn't even watch on Sunday. Like, don't even watch. Don't go to Gillette. Don't spend your money. You should hate this team. Like, that's different than just being negative. Different. Let's go to Tony in Boston. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Lou?
What's up?
Hey, I just want to say you're right, man. You absolutely got that one on the head. And you're the best when it comes to this baseball thing, man. You get us pumped. You get all the real fans pumped up, man. Keep it up.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Tony.
You know, the other thing I think is really, which I think has been lost in this, and nobody really talks about, but as far as the story of the Red Sox, I just think of Alex Cora and what an unbelievable job this guy has been doing. Now, remember, like, they ran him out of baseball, shamed him, embarrassed him, to the point where I don't think anyone thought that he would ever manage again, that he would ever be in baseball again. But holy cow, the Red Sox did what I thought they would never do. They brought him back. And I would say, as far as manager of the year, as far as what you've had to deal with, what you've had to go through, how you've your approach towards the season, towards the media, your willingness to be honest. I mean, and then at the same time, continually answer the same stupid questions about how you cheated and how you got fired.
Listen, I think all you need to know is if you heard somebody when they let go of Alex Cora, just to be the opposite, and say that the Red Sox showed no spine because they didn't stick with him. If you did nothing wrong, why didn't you stick with him? It was a huge mistake getting rid of him. And then months later when they hire him, rant and rave about how the hell can you hire somebody who cheated? He should not be back here. Like, that person right there is just whatever they do, and you've heard it. Whatever they do, it doesn't matter. I got to convince you that they are stupid, they are dumb, and you should hate them. Like, that's and again,
it is weird, though.
You've heard it.
And it is weird, though, because for a team that devotes so much money and so much resources, like straight cash, is willing to do whatever it takes, years and years and years, spend, and actually the spending works. You win four, and it's still not enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only team in town that can spend whatever they want. And when they feel like they have a championship team, they do. They go way over.
Except this year when they don't.
Way over. Well, this year, I mean, listen. They were like you. This is a rebuild. And they put this product on the field. They weren't going over for this. They had the start of the year with like $60 million, like, not playing, whether it is between Price, Pedroia, and Sale in a DL for 4 or 5 months. They knew it was going to be a tough year. Let's see where you are. And they played their ass off. And that should be fun to watch. And it's okay to admit that it's fun to watch. Here's Joe in Rhode Island. Joe, what's up?
Hey, Lou, I really appreciate what you said and what your words regarding the Red Sox and all the negativity towards our team. Baseball's a long season. I'm a baseball guy. I love the game. I can't play. I didn't play like you did. But, you know, I love the game, and I love the Red Sox. Anything they're doing, August was a tough month. I bleed when they bleed, and I feel good when they're winning. So, you know, I appreciate your words, and I think you are spot on in your take and your rant, and I want to thank you for it.
You got it. Appreciate it, Joe.
How about this? For you, at Lou Merlone, from a good friend, Dale Arnold.
Look at that.
Look at Dale jumping in.
Thank you, sir.
What Dale say?
He said, good for you, Lou.
Wow.
Good for you.
We'll talk a little bit more. Please don't ever do that again. Don't ever do it. Let's go to Tom in Hull. Tom, what's going on? You're on with Lou and Christian.
Let me tell you, I love listening to you two guys. You guys are doing a great job. Lou,
yeah.
That was absolutely awesome. Let me tell you right now, I was out in Baltimore when we got swept opening series, and I took a lot of grief sitting at the bars with these guys. And I kept saying, I'm a diehard Sox fan. And I got an Instagram thing that I got a bunch of followers, and I threw a thing out there last night, and a lot of guys hit on it, and it was, everybody's sleeping on the Red Sox. Watch out. If they get in, they're going to be dangerous. And I'm telling you, Lou, I enjoyed your rant so much, you have no idea.
Well, I appreciate it, Tom. Thank you, sir. It was fun.
Listen,
I
feel better.
I think this weekend here, we'll see. I don't know. What's the sellout? 38,000? Friday and Saturday. Sunday, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not going to sit here. And the Patriots play at night, though, right? No, they don't. They play during the day. I'm not going to tell you that they're gonna you know, outrate the Patriots. That's another fun game you like to play. You know what I mean? You start looking at, like, Bruins playoff games and Celtics playoff games, and you try to compare it to, like, game 24, you know what I mean, in May, and say, look, more proof. People don't care. They don't care. Well, listen, you're a Boston sports fan. If a team's in the playoffs, I'm going to watch the Bruins. I'm going to watch the Celtics. Not game 41 against Cleveland. Like, it's just a stupid thing. So on Sunday, they're going to outrate them. Patriots are going to outrate them. They're going to smoke them. Absolutely smoke them. But when you start saying that people don't care, I mean, there's Red Sox fans out there. I don't know. How do you just stand there and just be like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for liking them. I feel bad. There'll be 35, 38,000 this Friday and Saturday night. Sunday, I don't know. I don't know how many people will be there. I don't know what the ratings will be. They'll smoke them. There's no question about it. The Patriots will win. But it doesn't mean people don't care or shouldn't care. It would be shamed into not caring. Ryan in Manchester, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Thank you very much. Just want to say thank you very much for having me on. First time caller. I'll be quick to the point. So I want to just agree with Lou real quick. I just want to say that I think it's important to make that distinction that, like, you know, it's okay to still hate the ownership and still disagree with the, you know, deadline moves that we failed to make. You know, but that's a kind of separate angle than from hating the whole team in general. You know, so I'm not going to sit here and say I'm still not angry at, you know, the GM for you know, getting rid of Mookie.
And, I'm not either. I'm not happy.
Think about it. I mean, if we had Mookie right now, I mean, I'd like our chances that much more. But at the same time, that doesn't, I feel, more than an excuse to just give up on the, I guess, overall team and, like, just one for the Red Sox overall. That's all I got to say. Thank you for taking
you got
my
it.
Call.
Appreciate it. Let's see, Zachary, what's going on, Zachary? How you doing?
Doing well, Lou. Preach, man. I'm a young Sox fan, and everyone on the other station says that baseball it's a dying sport. No one cares about it anymore. And I'm 22 years old. These people have no idea. There's so many college kids that I know that love the Sox, and pisses me off when everyone says that it's a dying sport. It's not. It's just not. Thanks again.
Yeah, you got it.
It doesn't look like it's dying on TV. You know how many people have been calling me for tickets? It's the worst part of this job. Like, they that people knowing that we're, like, the, you know, the home of the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
I can get you tickets. Some people call you for tickets?
People call me for,
like,
tickets,
too. It's like, I don't have any. I don't know anybody.
I just work here.
What, you think, like, 30,000 people for, like, 7 straight days in 1 week at every single game? Like, that's people who don't care.
But here's the thing. But isn't this...
it's not 38. Well, again, like, you realize that...
Sorry,
like,
it's 37.5.
But there was no... Like, but when the season started, ask a season ticket holder how they were approached, like, as far as buying tickets. You could only have 4,500 people the first 20 home games. 9,000. And then all of a sudden, they opened them up. And when the season starts, I'm guessing 20, 25,000 per game are already sold before a game is even played. You couldn't do any of that. So this is sort of like last-minute tickets. And they got 32,000 people packing in. They'll be 35 this weekend with the Yankees. It's just the way it is.
Go to 5.
Let's go to Donald in Maine. Donald, what's up?
I'm going to redefine what you
said. Hi. I support everything that you were saying, but I make one distinction from what you said about negativity. I see people being critical as being constructive, you know, to kind of say that I disagree with this or I don't like that they did that or, you know, whatever it might be. Negativity I see as a thing where, you know, it doesn't matter what's being done. You've just made your decision ahead of time that you're going to be, you know, unaccepting of anything that's gone and nothing can possibly go right. And there's no discussion there. You know, it's just you're going to kind of tear down whatever anybody tries to do, whether it's positive or negative. So that's a distinction I make. I think that, that the people you're talking about aren't capable of just being critical. They have to be negative. They have to be tearing things down. And that's their MO. I mean, that's he does that because that's his way of getting people's attention, of making noise.
Yeah. Well, Donald, again, like just the distinction, I have no problem with being critical. I have no problem with being negative, like none whatsoever. But I would never tell you to not go to a Bruins game and that you shouldn't, and you should boycott them, and you shouldn't give them their money. Like, that's what I'm saying. That's just, that's the difference. That separates it a little bit. Eddie and Saugus, go ahead. What's going on?
Hey, I just want to say this. Couple of things. First and foremost, thanks for what you guys do. But, you know, people don't understand. We all understand out here in blue-collar world that this is a big money business, and that's what they do. But we love to watch them. We love to listen to them, whether it's the Red Sox, the Patriots, the Celtics, or the Bruins. You know, that's what we like to do. And Shaughnessy makes big money off of we're going to, you know, criticize them and do this and do that. And, yeah, we kind of love that too. But we also love to root for our home teams and listen to them on a Sunday afternoon, a Saturday afternoon, or whatever else. And you're 100% right. Back you all the way.
Mm. There you go. I like
that. A lot of support.
It. One more.
My boy Lou.
Let's go to Marsh Vegas, my hometown. What's up, Tommy?
Lou, take a bow, my friend. That was the best rant I've heard, and it's been long overdue. We've been waiting for this. You guys are the best show on TV. I'm tired of those clowns over there just trying to get their clicks and just bash the Red Sox. This is Red Sox Nation. We're going into the playoffs, and they're talking about wrestling half the time and the Patriots nonstop. The Red Sox will always be the hometown team. Now, granted, the Pats did a little something over the last 20 years. It will change that. But let's give them some due. I appreciate what you said. This is the best show on the radio, and I'll see you down Green Harbor Beach next summer, Blue.
All right, there. Tom,
sounds good. And that's just, it's just really the point. You know, you've got a very good baseball team that is playing at a very high level that now has, with a few acquisitions, guys like Schwarber just adding depth to this organization, Dahlbeck showing up, doing what he's doing, guys are healthy, bullpen arms, throwing the ball, four-man rotation. You are in a pretty good spot right now. And you, as a Red Sox fan in this city, should be able to enjoy it and not be shamed that you feel that people you should feel bad that you are. You don't have to feel dirty.
It's like something.
Okay, enjoy it. Tomorrow night, the Yankees are coming town. And if you take two out of three, or God forbid, if you sweep them, you can knock their ass out. That's still fun. That you can still enjoy that. It isn't like, you're not going to have those feelings like you had before. Well, you can get them back. It's been a while since you and the Yankees have like actually battled for something. It's been a very long time, and now that you actually are, you should enjoy it. So enjoy this weekend. Enjoy watching them beat the Yankees' ass in those yellow uniforms, because that's going to be a lot of fun. All right, when we come back, we'll continue with a little bit of this. A few more guys on that phone, but I do want to dive in a little bit. We talked to Jeff Duncan, actually, the Saints, just a little bit on what he had said, some interesting thoughts on this game that's coming up on Sunday, as well as your calls. That's next on Marloni and Fourier. We think this is wrong.
Who?
God, what is wrong with you?
What are you talking about?
Who?
Favorite sexual position.
Where?
Right here, freeze frame. What do you think?
Who?
Is there smoke around your rectum?
What?
Luke, did you go to happen?
No.
Who's like your idol?
Me!
You have a green light many times, Luke?
Yeah.
Can you just please put your mouth guard in?
Yeah.
I don't know why we're complaining.
Oh! How do you get dick from Richard?
Really?
There's not a stupid question. There's not a bad idea.
Holy crap. Give me another question, please.
My question's going to seem a lot easier compared to all this madness.
Oh, man. Good question.
Still want to know how you get dick from Richard. I don't know.
Still curious,
it seems so weird. Somebody call and tell me how. Let's keep going, man. Let's drive it home.
So before the break, I sort of teased Jeff Duncan earlier talking to some Saints. We're going to do that tomorrow. I don't want to do it.
If we got it, if not, who cares?
I would rather do this. Okay, let's go to Brian in the car.
You know what I'm doing? Hold on.
What are you doing?
Listen to this.
What?
You know what that is?
Putting your feet down?
Those are my feet. No, those are my feet up on the desk.
Oh, there you go. What up, Brian?
How's it going, guys?
How you do?
Lou, I got to say, I was very inspired by your rant. I went to the game on Tuesday night, the Mets game. My wife got me tickets for the birthday. I'm not even a Sox fan. I'm a Braves fan living in New England.
Yep.
So I went to root against the Mets.
Yep.
I thought it was awesome. The seven-line army out there. And the Red Sox fans were pumped up. I haven't been to a game in a few years, but I was very, very impressed with the fans there. I was sitting in front of a 95-year-old woman, and after Xander hit into the double play, she was cussing him out. Next time he came up, She's like, Xander, you better make up for that boneheaded play. I just had a blast. Had a blast. Go Red Sox. 98.5 is the worst station. I'm so glad I don't get it up here because every time I go down to Boston and come across that station, I have to turn it off. It's the worst. You guys are the best. Love you. Go Sox.
Thanks, Brian. And that's the other thing, too. Like, this, like the atmosphere there, I mean, you've been hearing it all year. Oh, it's like music's louder. It's actually fun. Even though this team's down, they come back and they win games. Like, people are going, people are enjoying this team. Now, in August, I wanted to stick sharp objects in my eyes watching this team play baseball. I will be the first to admit it. And COVID, guys that shouldn't have been in the big leagues playing for them for 2 weeks. But you got guys healthy now. This looks like the team from the first 3 months, the one that you actually enjoyed. And it's okay to enjoy. Joe in a car, go ahead.
How you doing, guys? I first want to say I agree with you guys. I love the Red Sox. I've gone to Red Sox games for like the past like 12 years. I went three times this year, one in the beginning of the year, and there was like barely people there because of COVID. I went when they opened it up to everybody, everybody was there. Like, I saw every seat filled, and everyone was loving it. And then I went against the Blue Jays, and there was not a lot of people there. But I saw young kids there jumping up and down, loving it. I saw older people there loving it. And I think that if you're telling people don't like the Red Sox, why not? Let them have fun. If they like the Red Sox, let them. We're almost to the playoffs. What if this team goes and wins the World Series? Are they going to be like, don't listen to what we just said. They're awesome. Like, if this team gets to the World Series and wins it, I hope they put the middle finger to everybody that doubted them the whole season.
Well, listen, I don't expect them to win the World Series. But they're going to be in that playoff game. And they may even host that playoff game. And they may lose that playoff game. And then I might look back and say, you know what, that was 163 games. It was a pretty good ride. You know, I know it's boring in that 42 to 80 range. I get it, but it's a pretty good ride from a team that was in complete rebuild, who that you thought sucked when the season started. You thought sucked again in August because you're so happy that it sucked because you think they sucked the whole time. So when they actually do suck, you can actually be proven correct because it actually makes your point now. But then they're good again. So, you know, wherever this thing goes, it's going to be a good year. Unless they collapse down this next week and they don't make the playoffs, then I'll rip them to shreds. But they shouldn't happen. I think they're going to be in it. So, okay. All right, let's go. Let's go to Maine. Talk to John. John, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Lou and Maloney? Yeah, I don't get 98.5 either, but I guess I could find it on the internet, but I don't. But Shaughnessy does get an interview up here like 5-10 minutes a week, and I can barely keep the radio on. Sometimes I turn it off. He's got to be the biggest snob ever. And anybody listening to those guys on 98.5, I mean, you should be ashamed of yourself if you're turning this team off or you're not enjoying this team right now. This team has had a very good season and could be a great season if they keep things going the way they are right now. So,
all right, John, listen, thanks.
Whose birthday was it today?
Was it yours? Was yesterday?
No, doesn't he do like a birthday this time in history?
I don't even know. I don't know what it is. But I would say you should feel ashamed of yourself if you actually like this team and allow other people to convince you that you
shouldn't. Well, that's really the message. Message has been kind of, you know, changed over the last, you know, 3.5 hours. That is ultimately it. Yeah, do you have the ability to think for yourself?
Just, yeah, you can just admit it. Like, if you like it, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah. If you like them, it's fine, right? It's no big deal. Let's see Ryan in Westfield. Ryan, go ahead.
Just calling in, first time calling. I will say this, ever since Mookie got traded a couple off seasons ago, it seems like the media has been pushing this narrative, you know, saying the Red Sox are this poverty franchise. And I think that that's really where I really started seeing it, tenfold is after the Mookie trade. And even after the off season last year, we saw kind of the direction that Heim was trying to take us. And there was people that never were going to give this team a chance, regardless of how they played. And now they just want to put it in your face when they start scuffling when they had the COVID outbreak.
And you know what? It's fine to be upset with them and pissed at them for not wanting to see Mookie traded. Like, I have no problem with that. Whether you agree with it, disagree with it, whatever. But they'll rant and rave about how then 3 or 4 years from now you'll look back at that deal and they might sit there and say, oh, it was a smart deal. No, Mookie's breaking down. You know, I mean, and actually, to be honest with you, a lot of them kind of rip Mookie Betts. You know, and never really thought he was that good until they traded him. And then they thought he was the greatest player in the world because then it fit their agenda even more so. So it's just the way it goes.
Do this real quick.
You tell me.
Okay, because earlier in the show, big deal, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
We found out that Lou was a substitute teacher as he was making $850 a month while he was in the minor leagues.
Yes.
We already had one of your students call up.
Yes.
I don't know if I even believe that Paul from Framingham is actually one of your former students back in the day.
Well, how's Paul going to prove
it? I don't know. Give me something. Give me some inside information, Paul.
How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, Lou? Hey, it's kind of a hazy flashback, so correct me if I'm wrong, but like, mid-90s, Framingham High School, gym class. Does that sound familiar?
Yes, it does.
Okay, great, great. But by the way, excellent gym teacher. You let us have a lot of fun.
Excellent gym teacher.
Mr. Cotan, that's me. That's me. Paul, we had fun, right? I didn't bust you guys.
Can you please explain to the listening audience, for those who don't know, what the game of flicker ball is? Do you remember that?
Flicker ball? No, you got to walk me through that one.
Okay, I believe you had us play flicker ball. So basically, it's indoors in the basketball court. You move down the field, but you're throwing a Nerf football, and to score, you have to throw the football through the hoop.
Okay. Whatever
it takes. So Lou invented
Paul, I got to be honest with you. It's probably your gym teacher told me about it. I probably learned it right before class. I don't even know.
Okay.
I don't even know. So, yeah, that was back in the day. That was back in the day.
Well, you got a lot of students out there.
Huh?
You got a lot of students out there.
It's a big town, dude.
Jeez.
It's a really big
town. I'm impressed.
Yeah, let's go to Dustin in Maine. He went to Fenway recently. What's up, Dustin?
Hey, I just wanted to bring up a larger issue by, you know, being negative towards the Sox is, you know, when I was growing up, my relationship with my father was built around the Red Sox. And this past August, I went to Fenway with my five-year-old son for the first time. And that connection that we have together and how we're building that together and how important that is. So when you're saying people, you know, don't go see the Sox or don't support them, you know, there's a larger issue with families and history. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the past that without the Sox, I wouldn't have had the relationship that I had with my father. And it's just so important to me. And I think that's important for everyone to know.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. But you shouldn't have those feelings, apparently, people are telling you. But good for you.
You should feel
dirty.
Go
to the game with your kid. Yeah, enjoy it. I want to give you an answer right now. Bart in Munson's going to give you your Richard Dick kind of answer. Go ahead, Bart.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
You know what? We're great. Dick. Thanks.
Hold on. Before you start, before, okay, I think I know how this is going to end, but go ahead.
The genus of Dick is from the Middle Ages because they were silly about freaking rhyming names. Rick and Dick, Bill and William, Bob and Robert, all that crap. That being said, the better question is, how did Dick turn into penis? Because it's more of the fact that it's all about men, Tom, Dick, and Harry, and it became penis. Lastly, I wanted to point this out because I dealt with not being my grandfather's favorite because his nephew was a freaking professional baseball player. My grandfather was Louis Frangillo.
Oh, yeah.
Have a great day, guys.
You got it.
Wow. Okay. So that doesn't really
answers to my mom's questions.
Side. It doesn't really tell me a lot.
Frangillo's.
No, I'm talking about
Shrewsbury Street, Worcester.
Getting Dick from Richard. That doesn't really tell me a lot. It's from the Middle Ages. They wanted to rhyme everything. This is men. Men like to rhyme everything. Bill and William. Hey, you jolly old folk. Like, let's change Richard's name to Dick. It doesn't. Dick and Richard don't rhyme. I don't believe him.
Yeah, what can you do?
I don't believe him.
All right. Well, that was the. That was fun.
It was, I feel like you should go take a nap.
Yeah, that was fun.
Do you feel better?
Yeah, no, it feels good. It felt good.
You brought out a lot of emotions from these baseball fans. I didn't think it existed.
Yeah.
The thing is that they were always out there. You just had to kind of rattle
the cage
a little
bit. Well, they are out there, but they're being shamed to not come forth.
I think it's okay to call in, Mom.
And actually talk about it. It's all right. It's going to be a fun 2 weeks. Tomorrow, Sox, Yanks, Cole versus Avaldi. Like you know, but hey, oh, boycott them. Don't go to the game. You'll show them. Steal their, don't give me your money. Yeah, don't enjoy Avaldi versus Cole. Yankees Sox mid-September in a playoff race. Yeah, that, God forbid you freaking enjoy that. Keep listening to that crap.
I hope they turn around and boycott the last homestand.
Yeah, keep listening to that freaking
Mini Felger.
All right, last call. It's coming up next.
More of Merloni and Fourier on WEEI.
Oh, my God.
All right, last call is brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. You can donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com. Well, give them a call at 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS. So, apparently, Rob Gronkowski met with the media, addressed his appearance with the Manning brothers on Monday Night Football, and explained how he cost himself a day off.
Yeah, you know, I actually watch tons of film. You know, an overload of film. I was just, you know, I would probably blame Nelson over there. He asked me 8 times to go on the show. I told him it's not a good idea to put me on the show with the Paytons, with the Mannings. You know, they always get me joking around. You know, they always get me in that type of silly atmosphere, and that's what happened. But, you know, Coach threatened me now that I don't get my vet day anymore because I don't watch film. So, trust me, I watch so much film that, you know, my girlfriend gets mad at me. She freaking throws shit at me sometimes because I'm watching so much film.
So, I love it. Did you hear that? Your vet day.
Friday, vet day.
Vet day is a Monday.
Monday?
Your day off. Your vet day, you practice.
But doesn't everybody have Mondays off?
No. Well, that's my point. So, a vet day, you used to call it Victory Monday, right? You win, but usually you don't do it to the end. But older teams with a coach like Arians, I'm assuming the rookies probably have to come in. I don't think the rookies and first year or second year players get the vet day. It's only for vested players, is what I'm thinking.
So, his little appearance with the Paytons
cost him a vet day.
The Paytons.
You win, we don't go in.
Yeah, I love the Paytons. Yeah. I was on with the Paytons. It's unfortunate.
That's funny.
It's unfortunate for Eli. It's just the way it is. Whatever. So what else do we have here? We have Gresham Keefe do a little slow burn with our guy Foyer.
Yeah, Gresham Keefe do slow burn. You can hear that when they do that. So, of course, they took our question that Christian asked Mac Jones on Patriots Monday about a certain saying that Nick Saban had, and they put it through that slow burn filter, and this is what it sounded like.
We find out that Nick Saban's your former coach, his favorite saying is "D's nuts." Okay. That was from Al. Your Jordan Bat Battle, Alabama football player. Did you even know about this?
It's kind of his thing. He's been doing it for a while. I think he needs to get maybe get some new ones, but
so he runs around and tries to get guys with the joke.
Yeah, I mean, he'll get you, though, but he's pretty, you know, he's serious, and then he'll be like, hey, you know, whatever, and then he'll just hit you with one of those jokes, and you'll just catch it out of the blue, and you're just kind of like, whoa, that just happened.
You all sound like Spicoli.
I like listening to him. That might sound like me in about 2 or 3 hours. But I like listening to him with that slow burn.
It is funny.
I like my laugh.
Squeaky voice. Sound like a mouse. Okay. All high-pitched.
By the way, this hour of Maloney and Foree brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. So what do we got tomorrow? We got Fitzy in the house tomorrow with us?
We got a lot, actually.
Lombardi will join us at 4. Nick Kostos.
Did I say it right?
Nick Kostos.
Right.
Look at that. Nick Kostos good
join us for tomorrow.
5:30, we'll make some gags.
And 4:15, Spaz on the Street.
Oh, you're
Spaz. Oh, I'm excited
about
this
one. You got a big smile on your face.
I like this
you
one.
Like
this
Spaz has been working very hard for the MFers.
I'm excited about this one.
That's a busy show. We get you ready for the Saints, Pats. A
lot to unpack.
All right, we got a lot to get to tomorrow. We got a full night of Mutt tonight, right?
Wow, lucky.
Right? Oh, no.
We have I Am Listening from 6 to 8, and then we go into Thursday Night Football.
Yeah. All right. I like that. That sounds good. We'll work on that one. But we're going to be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Big show tomorrow. Get you ready for the weekend. That'll do it for us. Have a good night, everybody. See you at 2.
Before the game, it's NFL Sunday with Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins.
Alongside Andy Gresham, Rich Keefe.
As the guys get you set for a Week 3 matchup, Patriots and Saints. It all kicks off this Sunday morning at 9.
On the destination for Patriots fans, WEEI.